Good evening, Harmanians, Harmanianettes, Hiri Hiri, welcome to the best night of your lives. Let's welcome the mayor of Harmontown, Mr. Dan Harmon.
Thank you. Wow, what a crowd. What a crowd. I'd like to welcome and thank our acting comptroller, Aaron McGathy.
Oh. Hi, I'm very nervous and insecure.
Don't be alarmed.
Jeff just texted me, if you're on stage right now, turn off your phone. I'm already failing.
Well, with advice like that flowing in, how can you? Don't worry. Aaron also is my acting girlfriend. We've talked about it on the drive up here. We're both absolute, consummate preparationists.
So that we invented a word.
Yes. We sat down and said, what will the word be for people who prepare a lot?
And we said, let's stutter as we say it.
Right. It was all planned out. Every experience. This is the inception of talking. Everything's planned out. If you'll record it and you'll go back over and go, no, the van backed over as they were slaloming. It works perfectly. What a jag movie. Can we admit? No? Oh, okay. No. All right. All right. Hey, man. I am not Napoleon. I am a populist. I'm Obama. If you like something, I like it. Inception. Mwah. Three dreams at the same time. Couple notes. What? They start that movie two dreams deep.
Yeah.
I wish I could use the N-word. It's like, N-word, please. Like, what? It's a fucking movie about dreams being real. Give me a taste. Just, like, don't assume I'm stupid, but...
It's dramatic music.
Yeah, no. But, like, step into it. Every pool has... stairs, like you wander in, like show me an example of a dream and then a guy being in the dream. Like, hey man, you enjoying that soup? Yes, I am. It's delicious. You know what I love about it? It's so real. Psych. You're dreaming. I thought that soup was real. So, in conclusion, sir, I think you could use my services. You're hired. It's in the way that you use it. And then do the credits, and then in the credits, like, reveal, like, okay, there's a little call to adventure, like, we're two dreams deep. And then have the threshold be, we need to go three dreams deep, baby.
Or three deep.
It's never charismatic when you, like, forget the R in dreams. That makes all of you go, I should be up there. I can say the word dreams. Well, the wizard's behind the curtain. No longer. The emperor's clothes are here.
Which is the name of your autobiography.
Both of those things.
Two volumes.
I got a little sidetracked, and I want to make a promise to you that's not going to happen tonight. Harmontown is, for those of you who have not been here 9, 10 times we've done this, it's a town meeting. I think that's very clear from the description of the show, which is now going to be a weekly podcast. And seems like that deserves applause. It's a thing that seems like when a comic says, I just had a baby. And then half the time they didn't. You ever notice that? You notice like comics, they always say they had babies, and then they're just taking you for a fucking ride. I had a baby, and you go, woo, and you go, AIDS.
Dan does,
thanks, Dana
does...
Gould. You didn't have a baby, Dana Gould.
Dan does exclusively observational comic humor.
Yeah. In keeping with my meta sensibility that got me fired. I'm a comics comic. Comics comic comic. It's like the first scene of Inception. Hard to follow. Labyrinthine. You know, like Back to the Future. No. That movie started with a kid who wasn't time traveling. I don't mean to shake my cane at you, Christopher Nolan. Did he direct that?
I don't know.
David Finchman? Batman? Who directed it? It doesn't matter.
Let's hear it for Back to the Future.
Tonight we wanted to, the concern was that Aaron is stepping in for Jeff so that the night would, my fear with people that are couples, entertaining people, is that it will devolve very quickly into a kind of Regis and Kathy thing.
Well, it's so hard.
Or is you youngsters, Regis and Kelly?
You love me so much, so you were worried you're going to be distracted by my beautiful
face. Yeah, that it would be saccharine, or that we'd go, remember that time you did that? No, you did it. You said this thing. But, you know, I think that saying that out loud will keep that from happening. I'm probably wrong.
Let's forget it.
Okay.
For now.
You're so cute tonight.
You look very handsome. Look how thin Dan looks.
All right. See, it's not happening. This isn't a morning show.
You all should see how thin he looks underneath those clothes. I see how he looks naked. Because we're dating and we're so in love. Am I doing this right?
Yeah, I you gave me a flashback when you to this morning we were having breakfast and then and breakfast turned into like
breakfast
3 p.m.
On each other's bits. I'm sorry. We're having breakfast this morning.
Somebody said, "Oh, you look like you lost weight," and then I lifted up my, I went like that. That's what the guy at the bar did, except you can do it. You're fine. I love you guys. But this guy did it. I was like, I got up out of a booth at a restaurant, and then somebody said, "Oh, you look, yo, where'd it go? Where's the tummy?" And I said, "Here it is." And this guy at the bar went, he was talking to his friend, and so you have to rewind, put the playhead where I lift the shirt, and you'll know where I do it. But so I'm rewinding. Now you're from, this is like Inception.
Knock your chair over.
Whoa, that always wakes you up. What are the suitcases with the things? Come
and
on, guys.
What is Ellen Page's role in that whole movie? She's learning how to do it. She never does it. She never does it.
We're alienating them, honey. They love Inception.
A lot of them left
Rotten Tomatoes reviews that they're deeply ashamed of, but they gotta fucking stick it out. 3 years later, you can't fucking let it go. Same way about Good Will Hunting, you little fuckers. How many of you own it? Did you buy it? Fuck you, buddy. I'm sorry. No. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Mixed signals. I'm sorry. Thank you for being honest. Fuck you for lying, all of you. Because none of you own it. Wait. No, you were all honest, too. You didn't raise your hands. Thank you all for being honest. Fuck me for not liking Good Will Hunting. It's a great movie. Listen to the name. You like those apples? Hey, no, answer the question. Do you like apples? Fuck you, you fucking dork.
So we're at Little Dance.
No, just answer it. Okay, yes, I like apples, you're putting me in the awkward position of having a stance on fucking apples. You're an idiot, but yes, I like apples. I just got a phone number. How you get apples? Please, you're embarrassing yourself, me, my parents, humanity, giraffes. Any errant spy drones passing over, the thermograph of you is embarrassing. Holding a phone number, bragging about it with the Apple tee up. Fuck you. It's not, you don't give that movie an Oscar. What you get from that is 10 more movies like that. Saving the Rebecca's Dreaming. The Good Silvering.
Logline for Saving the Rebecca's Dreaming.
Rebecca is a small town girl who's been in the big city. She's coming back. They don't have log lines. They're fucking pieces of shit. All they have is a special font that looks like on Golden Pond. That's all they have.
Good Will Hunting.
It means nothing. That's dumb. You can't just string words together. RoboCop. Fuck you. Awesome. Oscar. Where's the Oscar for RoboCop? Thank you, gentlemen. And lady.
So we're at Little Don's. You lift up your sweater.
I lift up my shirt, and the guy goes, so put the play hat back to, I get out of the booth, and the guy, I go, so this is the guy, and so I gotta tell you where the camera is. Okay, this is, you're me, you, all of you.
I'll play myself.
You just lifted your shirt. He's talking to his friend, who's identical. They're both built like me. I don't know if it's important to say that. They both look like
they're really good
bears.
At pool. And that's not a compliment. They look like guys that's like, I don't know what Trevor and Joey are skilled at. And then you play pool with them and you're like, oh.
Oh, they're good at pool.
They're good at pool.
Oh. All right. So the guys at the bar at this restaurant, which is 2 feet from the booth, I stand up. Someone says, you look like you, where's your belly? Where is it? I can't find it. That's a
that
very
was
nice
me.
Thing to say.
Who said that?
Oh, some lady.
The guy said, fucking gross.
He looked at my belly and said, fucking gross. And you don't blame him. Who cares?
My theory.
This is a morning show. There might as well be coffee in this cup.
My theory on that guy is that he was and is homophobic. So he saw a man lift up his shirt and he didn't want his buddy to think that he liked it. So reflexively, he was like, this is gross. I don't like dicks. I would never suck at it. That's
it's a good
happened.
Girlfriend at any rate. The guy called me gross. He just wants to fuck you. That's a good girlfriend.
Well, that's my explanation for anyone who's ever rude to me. So stop trying to fuck me so hard. Mom. My mom's dead.
Here is not a good girlfriend. You woke me up at 5:40 this morning. You weren't awake. You decided that in your sleep, you were having such a great dream. But I was awakened at 5:40 a.m. to Aaron saying, Dan! Oh, fuck, shit! And she goes, look, you get it, you gotta do it, hold up the stick, look at the stick! And she's pointing in the corner of the room, and I go, what's the stick? And she goes, the microphone, hold up the stick! You have to do it! And I'm like, okay, I'm holding it, and she went... And then at 7:40, I'm like, still 2 hours later, I'm like staring at the ceiling, worried about my finances. And every once in a while, she's like... So like the stick dream is amazing. It's got like a comic figure in it. Like Charlie Callis comes out later as the stick guardian.
Raise your hand if you know who Charlie Callis is. There are six people raising their hands. Most of them are our friends.
Because they've all gotten drunk with Jeff Davis and he's made you watch Charlie Callis on YouTube for 3 hours.
Charlie Callis is this incredibly unfunny comic from...
Oh, sweetie. He's dead.
Oh, he is dead. He's a dead, unfunny comic from the 60s and 70s who, for no reason, just makes nonsense noises in the middle of explaining stories that no one cares about.
Why don't you give us an example? Charlie Callis' impression is impeccable. Can you give a suggestion for an activity that Charlie Callis might talk about?
Sure, sure. What's an activity?
Pool.
Pool? All right. Me and my friends, we went to the pool hall, and one of them grabbed a cue off the wall, and I was like, and then he took the pool, and took the pool ball and put it on the thing, and I was like,
wait, what? There's a phone call?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
It doesn't make sense.
Oh, yeah.
Hello? This is pool calling. And then we all went home. Thank you.
Thank you
for applauding.
Yeah, good job applauding that.
YouTube,
Charlie Callis is dead, but his wife, Rebecca Callis, isn't. I'm sorry, honey, come on up here.
My husband
and she
is,
comes out and she's just fucking crying. And she just blows her brains everywhere.
But as she's blowing her brains, she says, like, I'm going to kill. I'm going to kill. I'm going to kill. It'll be so funny when you Google it.
It's So Aaron and I have a perfect relationship, which is why, and I also Aaron has a podcast about relationships, because, you know.
Do you remember the name of it?
It's This Feels Terrible.
All right. I just wanted you to say it. Right. Oh, I'm sorry. Did someone boo?
No, well, they're booing your awkward approach to integrated marketing.
Right.
They're not booing your podcast. They're booing, like, if Calgon came in and said, that sounds like a clean situation. Then they'd go, boo.
Thank you,
Calgon, for sponsoring Harmontown. Fuck you for shoehorning it.
Sure.
Should we talk about...
Oh, yeah. No, I'm sorry. You're saying we have a perfect relationship.
Right, right. That's the facade. So this is like Sherman's March or... I never saw it. It's like Inception. You think it's a dream and then the perfect relationship is going to turn out to not be perfect. Like Inception. Like the guy eating the soup is going to turn out to... fucking that movie.
Yeah.
Really? You guys are going to just stick to it. You just love it. You're just going to die for it. Like, if I come at Inception with a Bowie knife, you're going to just fucking, like, me, the creator of Community. That doesn't give you pause. There's no loyalty. There's no Darth Vader, Luke Skywalker moment where I'm like, Father, please. Your emperor is killing me.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. If you run an e-commerce business, you know how much work it takes to produce something great while dealing with complicated shipping issues. That's why over 130,000 companies have turned to ShipStation, an innovative tool that allows you to focus less on shipping and more on building your brand. With ShipStation, you can manage orders, label printing, reporting, and customer service on one easy-to-use dashboard. You'll reduce warehouse costs with reliable enterprise solutions and save thousands on shipping costs with discounts up to 89% off. Plus, you can effortlessly import orders from everywhere you sell online. So, turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth. Go to ShipStation.com and use code POD to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, code POD.
You won't pick up Inception and dump it into a fucking laser pit for me. Then you're Ewoks. That's what you are. You'll sing and dance. You don't care if fucking your moon of Endor is taken over by the Empire or not. I don't know. You know, I got no use for you. Just don't cook C-3PO. I haven't seen that movie in a while. I think they were going to cook C-3PO.
In soup?
I don't know. He sat up and they're like, oh, he's a god. That movie fucking bite a dick, too. Fucking Ewoks. Everybody knows it. You guys are almost too young. It's gotten to the point, like, when I came out to L.A., it was like, if I mentioned Star Wars, oh, my god. Now you're all, and this is what I love about you, you're beyond it, like, racism. You don't give a shit anymore. You don't wear watches, you don't have landlines, you don't give a fuck about George Lucas, and the idea that black people can't swim is boring. You don't, it's not funny, it's not shocking, it's not, you're like, who cares, again with the black people, fuck you. I'm a quarter Apache, and fuck, I got a Chinese guy growing out on the top of my head. I'm half hologram. I don't know if, even if I'm thoroughbred Eskimo, I still don't give a shit about your dumb racial humor. What are you, Don Rickles? Fuck you. Those are the things that I love about you. You guys should know, since you're so young and so beyond it, that Return of the Jedi movie, those Ewoks were supposed to be Chewbaccas. All right, that's it. That's all I'm going to say about it.
Wait, were they
really? Can you imagine a planet of Chewbaccas? I know they're called Wookiees.
I guess I'll research this on my own time. I didn't realize that before.
Yeah, how badass would that have been?
Wait, oh, you mean originally they were little Chewbaccas. I thought you meant that...
They were going to be Wookiees. Someone's muttering something. I've incited a nerd rage. It's valuable. Who's muttering?
Over here.
It's okay. What are you saying?
It would have been like the holiday special.
Oh, like what? The Ewok? You think the Ewoks would have saved the holiday special? You think that would have been? No.
I just wanted to get you, man. All right.
I'll buy you a drink afterwards.
He just wants to have sex with you.
It's just. Thank you, baby. Thank
You're
you.
You're welcome. All right.
We asked you guys to ask us for relationship advice, questions, relationship questions. And here's the first one. Here it comes.
All right, here it comes. Along with a sound effect.
There's the relationship-osaurus, descending from the Pleistocene of romance to. Jesus Christ.
I'm sorry. No, wait. No, it's time for a question.
All right. There's a little bit of overcompensation here. You've probably Erin's insecure about filling in for Jeff. She brought an iPad soundboard. I applaud it. I applaud effort.
Thank you.
That's why I love Inception. Because it tries too hard. And if you guys don't like this, then you're hypocrites.
Because I don't want to be the inception of girlfriends.
No, don't. No, just the soundboard is. It's the.
If I was a movie, what movie would I be, girlfriend wise?
You, Citizen Kane.
Oh, all right.
Jesus Christ! Get out! Get out! Get out! Pull up. Citizen motherfucking Kane.
So with your friends and colleagues, you say you love it, but alone you hate it.
No.
I got it.
No. Orson Welles directed it. Some people choose to not understand it, and I say fuck you to them. Over pie.
All right. Question number one.
It makes no sense.
No, you're calling up the information.
What?
Justification.
Is the information in 1973? Why am I using a rotary phone?
Question number one. What is the what is the significance of a man/woman's relationship with their cat?
What's the that's important.
Because you have a very close relationship with your cat.
Yeah, cats are about. I would kill the music. I don't want to give notes during the show.
I'm sorry. I'll stop doing sound effects.
Oh my God!
I thought it was going to be a different sound.
No, it's fine. It's fine. I want to see where it's going. It's fine. We talked about this. Your job is not to be Jeff Davis. So this is a whole new thing. She's got an iPad full of sound effects. Let's just everyone.
Guys, it's fine. He's trying to explain something to me. We're fine. It's part of the show podcast. Get off the stage, audience. Stop poking Dan.
I've never had to do this with 200 people at the same time, but guys, she's really cool. I swear to God.
That was the last one.
Dogs require discipline on behalf of humans. I think that, and I don't want to use bad words like arrogance and ego. Confidence would be a better word. You have to have your shit together to have a dog. So if the guy or girl that you're interested in, whoever wrote this question, is a dog person and you're a cat person, then I think what you have to understand is that you might be prone to act like a little baby in the relationship. You have to stay on your shit about that. I think cat people, to own a cat is to say, I don't want responsibility to the animal kingdom. It doesn't mean that you're incapable of taking it on. It's to say, I'm not ready for it yet. I don't want it yet. People that have dogs are going like, you know what? I got my shit together. I want a fucking animal to walk around, and I'm going to be the sunshine and rain in its life. If I forget to look at it, it's going to have a heart attack. If I don't tell it a pillow isn't a sandwich, it won't know. I might have to hit it. Like, all kinds of weird shit. Yeah, well, don't. Hey, don't. Whoa. I didn't spend 500,000 years slowly warping the genes of a wolf. Don't come crying to me. I like cats. They're brand new. They're Egyptians just invented them, like, 1,000 years ago.
But I'm happy to make this announcement. Dan is buying a golden doodle.
See, good, thank you for holding your applause until you got verification from me. It may take a little while. We researched the kind of dogs that I might get if I was going to get a dog now that I'm fired. And community was my dog. It has sadly stopped fetching my slippers. And has, in fact, taken to pissing on my face in my sleep. And having panels at Comic-Con without me. Which, it's
Dan, while that was happening, how did you react?
I started cleaning my house. It was just for 2 days. I just started moving boxes around. And I was like muttering things like, I thought you hated nerds. And then I just was like, and then I would find out I made a shelf wrong, and I was kicking across the room like, fuck, shit, I hate my fucking life. I'm a wreck. The show broke up with me. It dumped me. You know, when you dump somebody, don't awe me. I don't mean don't do anything. You can do whatever you want. But I don't feel sorry for me. I'm not saying these things to elicit pity. It's a confession. I need to get this off my chest. I feel warped and bad and petty about it. I'm right. Outside, I smile at people and I go, you know, they drive by and go, toot toot, you got fired. Whoa. And I go, good morning, Ralph. I guess they wanted to go in a different direction. Just taking out the trash. It's my duty, you know, to keep a smile. I'm bummed out.
I
love my show. Yeah. What if they took your baby? What if they came in your window and took your baby?
You'd probably fix up your house.
You'd probably start cleaning your house. Working on your shelving units. And every once in a while, you'd find out that for the third time, you had the Home Depot guy cut it a tenth of an inch too long. And so it still doesn't fit in the fucking thing. And then you just erupt into things like, why don't you have shelving units? Why don't you fucking fire me then? In fact, I will tell you, I was trying to move my chair. All right. So I was trying to move a reclining chair. Can you just kill the music, though?
Oh, I'm so sorry. I can't hear it very well.
I mean, I swear to God. Jeff never does this. He's very
discreet. Also never blows you. On the weekends.
Do I tell her? We stepped on each other's.
Oh no! Right.
I had a dream. The weird thing about the 5:40 wake up is I was in the middle of a very intense anxiety dream. But in the dream, Aaron and Jeff and I were on mushrooms. I haven't told Jeff this yet. He's out of town. And in the dream, it was such a vivid dream, and I was in a rage. I'm surprised I wasn't like shouting in my sleep, because in my dream I was constantly angry and so stressed out. In my dream, Jeff and my girlfriend and myself were on mushrooms and like hanging out and having a good time. And at the end of a big, fun, three-person mushroom trip, Aaron said, guys, you know what? This is going amazing. Like, let's just do this. Call me crazy. Let's just do it. And I was like,
free spirit.
What? And Jeff was like, yeah, I know what she means. Let's fucking do it. We've been thinking about it. Let's
sounds
do
like
it.
You've been thinking about it.
Well, obviously. It's an anxiety I have. So I've got and I'm in the dream going, I only get to play one character. I'm going like, no, I don't want to look at my friend's dick, and I don't want to watch him fuck my girlfriend, and I don't want to high five him while I do it, and I.
I could go on and on
for the reasons I don't want to do this, but I'm sorry, guys. And then that's when the dream like started, like when the nightmare kicked into high gear, because the rest of the dream, it seemed like hours. You know, like in Inception, like time slows down. It's a really, you should rent it. give it a chance, guys. So I was awoken from that by my girlfriend going, pick up the stick with the microphone.
Yeah.
Everyone's having a great time but me.
I sound like the best. Really quick, when I saw Inception in the theater, I saw it with a couple
you
of friends.
You were 12.
My mom had to take me off of her breast, and she showed me to the...
She held you up and said, one day you'll get this.
When I saw Inception at the ArcLight, and the last shot of Inception, it's not really a spoiler, is a shot of a top turning, and you don't know if it's going to fall over, which would mean that he's not in a dream, or if it's going to keep on spinning, which means he is in a dream because he finally gets what he wants. The credits started going up, and a woman behind me said, "Ugh, here we go again," as if the movie was about a demented top. And the sequel, here we go again. Like, there was
and
a
that woman.
That woman
walked out going, "Inception's great." I, you know, fuck you guys. You're among dummies. Aaron McGathy text messages. Scrolling back to the night. I was trying to move a chair through a doorway that was too narrow for the chair.
Welcome to the most entertaining story of your life. Also, there were buttons nearby. The walls were cream.
It was Garrison Keillor.
How many more people are going to be in this town?
Arthur's chair had become an item of much recompense. The cushioning was... forgiving.
Sean Connery's Garrison Keillor impression is it is right on. It is right on. It is right on.
Most things in Lake Wobegon don't rack all the bullets.
I'd really like to not get sidetracked tonight.
Okay, I'm sorry. Okay. So, chair, you're trying to move.
I was trying to move a chair.
Everyone, buckle in. He was trying to move a chair.
It's a character study. It's funny. I was trying to move a chair through a door. The chair, I really think I came out of the gate swinging at Inception, and I think that's the goal, that's the moral of tonight. Like, I really fucked myself.
No, you're doing fine. You're doing fine.
I wish I could take it back, man. I wish
I could like that
movie. I wish someone could incept into my head. The idea that movie is like RoboCop, because looks like a lot of skiing to me.
Yeah, those dreamscapes weren't very cool. It's like a...
Did you say dreamscape? The original Inception? Thank you, sir. Thank you.
They all came together. The Dreamscape Club all came together.
All of my colleagues in the back. Like, yeah, that's what it's like to have a 27-year-old girlfriend, by the way. I'm 39. I'm like, let me show you the real Inception. Dennis Quaid in Dreamscape.
And then he just shows me his dick.
I do that all the time.
Ladies. But his dick is a dream within a dream. It's crazy. It's crazy. I look at it and I see myself naked in science class, and then I see myself skiing.
With dicks for poles.
The worst. Would it be really low to the ground, like crouching?
But then the dick looks up and goes, "I'm the architect. It's my dream. That's why the balls have different hair on them."
And then Ellen Page says, "I have no reason to be here. There's no reason for me to be here.
I was in Juno. That's it."
And then Joseph Gordon-Levitt says, "I thought I was in a better movie than this. I did pretty good in this movie."
I'm gonna abuse this overvalidation.
And then Leonardo DiCaprio said, "I love yachts."
Is that because of Titanic?
No. We can all agree that Leonardo DiCaprio is a bad person. I mean, there's probably somebody here. I mean, come on. He's got to be a shitty, terrible person. He's an okay actor. You can see it on his face. He's a bad person. Like, when he's at charity events, deep down inside, he's like, I don't really care if people die of cancer. I have a yacht. He loves yachts. And models. You can't trust people who love yachts. Yachts shouldn't be around.
Are you basing? Are you? Was he ever on a yacht, to your knowledge?
Yes, he was on four yachts.
Wait, what? At the same time?
No, I feel like every time I've seen a picture of him in a magazine, he's with a different starlet on a yacht.
Really? Oh, okay.
Yeah, Blake Lively on a yacht. Gazelle Bundchen.
You know why I think he's on a yacht, baby? He probably just wants to fuck you.
Yeah.
I'm a good boyfriend.
Probably.
All right.
There's someone who's not laughing at everything I say in the back. Look, hey, man, how can it happen?
I do
I'm sorry, babe.
A lot of the fights we have are because we're the same person. You're as dishonest and narcissistic as me, and I also play to whoever's not laughing. There's always a guy. Like there's a couple people who're like, I thought you were gonna make up a new sitcom for me. I don't blame you. It's $10, and I'll see you after the show.
How about the male and female version of the same person trying to do a show together? One is dressed like his best friend, and he just explained that he wanted to have a three-way with his best friend. How about that?
All right. So I was trying to move a chair through a door. I took off my shirt because I was sweating, and I'm shedding a few, but I still look ridiculous with my shirt off. So she came upstairs and she saw me standing over this chair that I couldn't get through a doorway. I look like I was playing this game of Tetris with one piece, like trying to flip it. It's just like coming out. I was just like, I'm drenched in sweat and I've taken off my shirt. And I look like a community theater version of Stanley Kowalski. And I had tried to move the chair through the door every conceivable way. It's kind of shaped like a whistle, this thing. Like a picture like a whistle. Do they have whistles now, or have those made obsolete by Wi-Fi? Is there like a? Do they still well on the football field? They're like, no, you use a laser now. You shine it in their eyes. I don't know. I don't follow sports. Maybe the whistle.
You don't have the whistle gene?
Kids, there's a whistle. I was trying to figure out. If I put the back through. It's a very narrow doorway. It occurred to me. I figured out one angle, and I shared this with Aaron. Because I trust her and love her.
Thank you. That's the end of the story. Next question. Burr, burr, burr. Why are you so pretty, Aaron? Weird. I don't know. It's my spirit, my good spirit. Sorry.
She actually does work as a replacement for Jeff Davis. Do you have any stories about the time you ordered milk and the chef said thank you?
Thank you. Thank you.
All right.
No one ever orders milk.
No one ever orders milk like that. How did you learn to order milk? I don't know. No, I just... Were you born milk special?
Thank you. Thank
you. So I guess I was. I don't know. I don't fucking care. I said, I'm going to have to take the door off the hinges in order to get the chair through. It almost makes it through. I got to take the door off the hinges. Aaron's immediate response... don't do that. It's a two-man job. Have you ever taken a door off the hinges before and tried to put it back on? It's a two-man job. It's harder than you think. I go, it's screws in some wood. It's a fucking door. It's a door. I've never, to be perfectly honest with you, I've never taken a door off its hinges and then put it back on. Well, it's harder than you think.
I didn't actually ask
for your help, and even if I did, I don't think telling someone to not to do something is helping them. I find that to be very discouraging.
And you definitely said it as sweet and reasonable as you're saying it now.
So she goes, well, I'm going to go out drinking again.
I'm going to go out fucking again. Oh, no laugh. I'm so sorry. I was kidding. I didn't say that. I was going out to karaoke. I'm so sorry.
Don't pollute the story with bits, because the truth is funnier than
You're right.
You said, I want to go out drinking in the drawing room. You left. And I'm like, fucking door. So she's right. It's kind of hard to take off a door by yourself. Unless you put a fucking thing under the door. It's like cartoon logic. It's like, why is it hard? Oh, because the door, if you take it, screw the unscrew, it'll start to fall off the hinges. Oh, no. What am I going to do? What am I, a fucking fox? Am I a beaver? No, I'm a primate. I think I'll go get a thing that's as high as the door comes off the ground, put it under the door so that when it comes off the hinges, it's resting on that. Ta-da!
And I took it off its fucking hinges, and I put the chair through the door, and I put the door back on the hinges, and I sent my drinking girlfriend two photos, one of the chair in the room that it was too small, so too big to get into, and the other of the newly intact door, rehinged, and ready for closing or opening. And I said, so you'll be me, and I'll be you. All right, so you be me, I'll be you.
Uh-huh. It was probably a two-man job, but you probably forgot I have the power of 10 men. I had no idea that Tim Allen had cloned himself, and there are 50 Tim Allens in the...
Well, yeah. you know.
All right, let's just read it, and then we'll talk about it. Yeah. Aaron. It probably was a two-man job, but you probably forgot I have the power of 10 men.
That's awesome. I'm legitimately impressed.
I don't want you to be impressed. I want you to be supportive of me in the face of adversity. Or I guess you could fire me and tell everyone that I did it unofficially.
Jesus. I'm sorry.
Pay attention to the punctuation.
Jesus, period.
Okay.
I'm sorry, period. I love you, period.
All right.
You really did it, period. Pause. Sorry, I was trying to save you heartache. Lesson learned, no punctuation.
No response for a while.
20 minutes later. Are you mad at me?
No.
Okay. It's not that crowded here if you want a drink, exclamation point. Just me and Kimber.
No thanks. Very tired.
Okay, period. You sure you're not upset? Question mark?
I don't have enough energy to be upset, but I can't take away the same shame you feel for not believing in my door powers. That is shame you are putting on yourself.
Ha! Dash, dash. Okay. True. Is it okay if Kimber stays in your guest room?
That's fine.
Thank you.
Oh, this is this morning.
Yeah, this is the morning.
Unimportant.
Yeah.
He left. I woke up to an empty bed, so I texted him.
You can play Minecraft in here, smile face. Oh, does nobody need to hold up the stick anymore? Because that's why I was downstairs at fucking 5:40 in the morning. Hold up the stick! Ugh, fucking three-way loving dream bitch. I'm gonna go play a video game where my efforts are rewarded in a linear fashion.
That's the name of my 70s metal band, Three-Way Love and Dream Bitch.
And then she's a three-way loving dream bitch.
She likes
Abercrombie and Fitch. Speaking of which, I'm wearing this sweater to honor the fact that the air conditioning is working in this room. I'm sure you guys are. It used to get sweltering hot in here. The fact that I can wear a sweater up here is amazing, and we owe that to... I believe we owe that to... Well, we owe that to everybody at Meltdown Comics. They don't have to. This place is always packed. They could tell you to go fuck yourselves as a customer. They have your money. They have your devotion. But they choose to adjust the climate at the expense of thousands of dollars to them. That's want you to be happy as well as lucrative.
Let's hear it.
And the good people at True Value. Yes. True Value. Did someone say True Value? We make hardware stores, not slogans. True Value.
All right.
And butter.
I have some more.
Thicker than milk. And twice as yellow. Better than pee since 1940. Butter. Just do the question. Break it up. Because there's people in the back who's like the charisma zone is here. Like these people get splashed. It's like a SeaWorld show. They feel the brine and the shrimp on their faces. They're like, I fucking love whales. Like, can I get a whale hat on my way out? I love whales. It's not until halfway the drive home. They're like, what the fuck was that? Bunch of whales. The people that as you go further back, there's people in the back that are like, what the fuck's going on? There's this guy just talking to his girlfriend about fucking whether his ass is fat and fuck these people.
I'd
fire him too. You don't have to keep. I guess I do that to get that reaction. I also probably did some stuff to get fired. I'm sure I did. Like, I never, ever, ever did anything they wanted me to do. Like, they always were going, hey, you should have Martin Short on the show. You didn't get to be like the Three Amigos with Chevy Chase. Okay. I'm on it. Shh. So how's the video game episode coming? They didn't like me. I didn't listen to them. I'm not a hero for doing that. That's childish. If you ever have a television show, you should clean your plate. Do your show. Do it the way that they want you to do it. Otherwise, you won't get to make a television show anymore. You'll just be hanging out. If you like television so much, do it right.
All right.
But my relationship is perfect. I'm not here to give TV show advice. Wait, are you raising your hand, sir? This is important.
Well, you just reminded me. I had heard at one point the video game episode was that ever the case?
Wait, what?
The video game episode was what?
Video game ever...
No. He asked, was the video game episode ever the finale? People, the big fans are like, the production codes of the episodes, like the numbers 320, 321, 322. Sometimes we shuffle episodes and those are a tip off. We do that. Because we do make, and it is a disservice to the continuity of the show. Sometimes we go like, well, 313 is a happier episode. We're coming back from a break or whatever. We'll like shuffle it a little bit. And I always tell people when we do that. And then on the DVD, I have no control over it now, but they're supposed to correct that on the DVD. In the cases of things like that, the production codes of the episodes, like with the Christmas episode that was stop animated and that video game episode, we tend to just give it the latest production code number because I'm not necessarily sure it has something to do with just giving it like because it's like that's a post-productive intensive episode. We're going to get to that. That'll be the last one that we finish producing. Let's just call it 322, for instance. And then the other one. So I would never do a finale like with just them playing video games. I would do it with a guy going in a cardboard box and turning into a flash of light. Because I'm a genius. Very odd of you to just blurt out that question. But there was no problem with it. That's fine. It didn't turn into a rape or anything. It's alarming to people when someone does that because it's possible then that you could just start raping people and no one would be able to do anything about it. So the whole feeling of social order kind of collapses. Like, there's 200 people. If you all just charged me, you could kill me.
Right.
If you all just started talking or eating peanuts, even if you all ate peanuts in unison, that would be like a form of absolute. It would overpower me, and I would. You wouldn't be able to hear me.
Also,
have all the power. So like with apartheid, like I need you to not know that. I need to delay that realization that you guys are in charge. What were we talking about?
We're going on to our next question.
Oh, right. Yeah, next question.
Dan, do you believe in love at first night? At first night, I'm sorry. Freudian slip at first sight. Discuss.
I'm gonna say no because the definition of love is I believe that people who end up like happy together forever, you can trickle back and find out that they when they saw each other they were into each other like at an intense level, unshared by any previous relationship. But that might be coincidence. I think that love is true love is.
you number one, you die for the other person. That's a hard one to. That's a tough order to fill.
For real?
There might even be like degrees of love. Love, Roman numeral 3. Okay. But also like. You have to be, when you love somebody, you have to be willing to endure their bullshit. That high fidelity monologue about, you're not allowed to compare the women that you see on the street to the ratty panties that are hanging over your shower curtain. I'm paraphrasing. A better writer than me, but you that monologue.
I'm making
is,
a curtain.
The person that you're with every day, as you say when you eventually marry them, that's the for better or for worse thing. You're taking a vow not because you want to like what it turns into in Western society is we just like hold hands and go like, all right, now promise for real, except unless we get a divorce. Okay, go. it's really supposed to be like no. Because you're going to be shitty sometimes, like, I'm not going to, I'm going to average things out now. I'm not going to base it on whether or not every date goes perfectly. We're not even going to date anymore. We're going to have breakfast together, and it's like, you're going to be in a bad mood, I'm going to be in a bad mood, and, I'm going to want to hit you with an iron.
Jesus.
We'll talk later about it. I wish you would iron more. I hate that I have to do all the ironing. And that you stand there and watch me with your head in a head holder. And
I love my head holder. It's perfect for nothing. It's perfect for nothing. It doesn't exist.
Can you draw out the reading of the next question so I can get a drink?
Yeah, I'm holding. I'm covered in questions. Here we go. Let's see, McGathy. Can you make this work? Here it goes. It's coming out, and there it is. All right. Such a bad girlfriend. Ooh.
She has her moments. Like the lamb allergy lie, which we'll get to in just a moment. I don't think it's going to be very fun.
I feel like it has to be. I don't think it's going to be a long story.
No. Once upon a time, Aaron pretended to have a lamb allergy. Just to get her way. The end. They yep, lived that's... happily ever after? Question mark? Next question. What's the question?
I'm reacting to you saying question mark. Oh, we have a very happy relationship, you fucking asshole.
I'm just trying to make the nice people happy.
Go back to your ex-girlfriends. You guys had a lot of fun. It's fine. I'm sure no one will have me.
it's like dating myself. It's the fucking worst. And the best. So arrogant.
I'm not going to defend our relationship.
It's passionate. It's
again?
Passionate. I, there are crimes of passion where someone cuts someone's head off with a chainsaw. It's a crime of passion. I'm passionately in love with you. I may decapitate you at some point.
I mean, Dan, you're my... I want to say in front of everybody, Dan, you're my best friend. Aww.
I love Tron.
And I love attention from strangers, gentlemen.
Don't do that. Don't put your shingle out because it hurts in town.
This is apropos of this line of conversation. I've been with my boyfriend for 8 years. I love him, but we fight all the time. What should I do?
Wait, is that for real? Oh, okay. Marry him. You've been with him for 8 years.
If you're asking that question, you're looking for someone to like fire a gun at the starting line. That's you getting out of a relationship. You don't ask that question if you
not
if
necessarily because if you fight all the time, like, a lot of the times, like people. Like,
but why would you ask that question if you weren't
because
happy?
Because other people are constantly going. You know, you guys fight all the time. Like if you and I were on a desert island, I wouldn't know that I fought with you all the time.
Right.
I'm just interacting with you the way a mommy does a daddy. The way I understand it.
And then my sane friends go, Jesus Christ, you guys hate each other. Like, does the person that wrote that down want to retain their anonymity, or can you answer a couple questions by shouting out? Yeah, just simple.
There okay. are 20 guys in the audience that are about to throw up.
Okay. If you want to come up. If you're okay with that.
Come on down. This would be a good time for a sound cue. Here it comes. Here's the sound cue. Hear it.
Sorry. You can take the... I'm sorry. First of all, I'm sorry about my girlfriend.
Sorry.
Welcome to the bottom of the sea where... or the inside of a uterus, whatever that sound effect was.
It's comfortable. It's cozy.
Your name is, ma'am?
My name's Tiffany.
Tiffany.
You gotta call her a miss, bro.
I don't know that code. I don't know.
Gentlemen always call young women miss.
All right.
So when you get called ma'am, it's a bummer. Right?
No, go ahead, call me ma'am. I don't
care. All right, thanks for selling me out. Sisterhood. I'm wearing a suit, but I'm a woman. Back me up, man.
I don't know.
All right, so I'm sorry. What's your name, young little tater tot?
My name's Tiffany.
Tiffany, right. You already said that.
Okay, got it.
All right. Pneumatic device. Tiffany gave us
the epiphany
that her name was Tiffany. all right, Tiffany. So you're... is he here?
Yeah, he's
back. Oh, Jesus.
There.
Well, that's...
He was very mad that I wrote that question, actually.
But why?
We had a little fight about it.
Be mad.
Yeah, of course. You guys. Yeah. Well, that's what Aaron and I fight about fighting. So,
Tiffany, you're 26.
No, I was like listening to what you were saying, and it felt exactly like when she said, "You can play Minecraft in here." I'm like, I think I've texted that to him before.
Yeah. Okay. Did you ever read that Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus thing?
No.
I didn't either, but I listened to the book on tape. And the guy, because I was taking a road trip, and the guy said that women are like waves, they rise and fall, and men are like rubber bands, they back away, and then they snap forward. So you've probably...
Also, they're everywhere, and you can always find a new one. I love you so much. I love you so much. I'm so sorry.
I'm just happy as a podcast producer because, like, oh, there's an edit point. We can pretend the show ended there. I'm in the middle of an interview.
Tiffany, how old were you guys when you first started dating?
We were 16 and now we're 24.
Whoa.
How old were you guys when you moved in together?
I'm 19.
Okay, in 19.
No,
I got it. I'm sorry. That was me being...
I was trying to think of it.
No, you got it.
19 years old.
You're great. I would like to be your friend. we change... I would say no matter what happens, we all change so much from 16 to 24. We turn into different people. We become different people. So no matter what happened, there are no heroes or villains. As Dan told me once, there's no good or bad in love. There's just honest and dishonest. So let's get him up here. Can we do that? He doesn't want to come up here? I'm so sorry.
Is he willing to come up or is he...
No, don't make him.
But
come up if you want to come up. Don't have me telling you to do things I don't care to.
Men are like...
We get invites to your imaginary wedding.
Rubber bands. Men pull back when they feel like there's a risk of them being emasculated or confined, constricted. Men have this like tendency, according to this book. I'll trust this guy. He sounds like he's eating a ton of pussy. If you ever heard his voice on tape, he just sounds the most masculine guy in the world. But he says something that kind of resonated with me. It's like, yeah, women go up and down. What's the most frequent conversation? What's the most frequent ending to every argument that men and women have? The woman saying, I didn't want you to do anything about it. I just wanted you to like support me. And the man going, I don't understand what the fuck you're talking about.
Wasn't that you with the door to her?
Yeah. Well, that's look.
All right, back on Team Women. We welcome you back on behalf of all the ladies.
I told her, marry him. You've been together 8 years. That was before the 16 thing. That you adjust for inflation there. 16 to 20 doesn't count, but that doesn't mean that your relationship doesn't count. That's still a 4-year relationship. I'm not good at math. I have never gone more than 3 years, and at the end of 3 years, like if a relationship to last a certain length, like I'm a behaviorist, not a. I think that if people are together, then it says that they want to be together, and if in that relationship they're fighting, then it says that both of them are kind of like committing to this like opera where you fight, and that's the definition of relationship. And like if he's going like I'm gonna go down to my boxers and like disappear and hide in a closet and play on my laptop and do God knows what, and you're going like I just want you to take your hands off the wheel, and if the car goes in the ditch, you're not going to die because it's not a car, it's a relationship.
I would say
good
analogy. That's my advice to everyone here for every problem that you have. I guess we could. Yeah.
I would say no matter what, and I hope this isn't a catalyst for like a big conversation you have.
You're gonna have a huge fight.
I know, but I just want to say that like our culture values love and commitment so much, and that's important. But like no matter what happens, that means something that you guys were together for so long. That's meaningful, and like I had early relationships, and with non-geniuses. those relationships that you have are important, and if something was to happen and you guys were to go on different paths, it doesn't negate what you had already, and you could still love each other even if you want different things. I mean, you may call him from time to time, just ask him if he wants to fuck
you
with the drawing
room. Jesus Christ, she's trying to break up with him. Like, right in front of him. This is why women drive me nuts. We're done. I'm siding with the guy because he's a guy? I hate myself.
No, it's fine. There's no side. Tiffany, I will say you are in for a world of shit when you go back to your seat.
Yeah, I think so.
Best
All right,
of luck.
Well, thanks Tiffany for
Tiffany.
Ruining your relationship for us. For our paltry.
Ooh, this is a good question.
We didn't commit any crimes just now that numerous reality shows don't commit. Like there was that reality show that basically murdered Corey Haim just for like, you know, like,
no,
hey,
I don't think so.
Hilarious if you were on drugs in the house.
I don't want more drugs.
And he's dead, and they're like, well, I guess that show's canceled.
No, I don't want anyone to break up. I want people to not feel guilty for their paths changing or to not value their previous relationships.
Right, but like, her question wasn't, and I don't want to fight with you, but again, but her question wasn't, what do I do about the fact that
but
our
there's
paths
a reason
changed.
Why you ask a question. Like if I put in like, well,
I fucking hate you so much. I just will have it out in the car. Wow, I turned into a, like a it was.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's try it. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Dan Harmon, relationship expert. How do I get out of the friend zone?
How do you get out of the friend zone? I run it into the ground. Fucking like tell her. I'm assuming this is a dude. There is such a thing as a girl that ends up in the friend zone, but
there's wispy mustache sweat on this, so I believe it is. I believe it is a dude.
There is like,
a half wearing mustache.
Every once in a while, a canvas wants to know how to treat a paintbrush, but yeah, it's probably a guy asking how to get out of the friend zone. It happens. Right. Sometimes you paint by going like this with an easel.
We were in the friend zone.
You already know the answer to that question. You tell her how you feel because she will run like you're a fucking atom bomb. And be honest with yourself about whether you can stand hanging out with her when sex is off the table. The friend zone thing is like a sticking point with me because I had the issue with you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's what you said. You and I were in the I wanted to die. I thinly tolerated it, but I said to you, I demanded to know what this really meant, this platonic relationship. Did it mean that you had other irons in the fire? Is that what that means? Does you and me, mm-hmm. hang, the idea that you not being ready for a relationship, does that mean that that you're not ready for a relationship with like seven dudes at the same time? Or does that mean that you really like me? But that's not really the point, because it's her, how she responds
there,
is up to her.
But there are reasons, right. Like it wasn't a normal shitty girl situation. There were reasons behind it.
The thing with the thing that a guy has to do to protect himself from that is to always just like, as uncharismatic as, like we're encouraged as guys, we go, women always call us liars. They always go like, oh, guys are pigs. You're liars and all this stuff. Like, guys are, we are pigs, dogs, whatever animal metaphor you want to use, but we're simple. We are capable of just being honest and blunt about what it is we want. And we kind of like get trained over time, probably justifiably, to have a little bit of grace about it. But that can slide into lying and deceiving and like playing some weird game. And then on the other side, there are honest women who are cool with that and will say to guys like, I think you might, you say you want to be platonic friends, but I feel like this is more than that. I just want to make sure you understand, right? Okay, and communication works. But then there are as many dishonest women as there are dishonest men. And so what happens is there's a guy on one side going like, I'm in it for the long con. I'm going to sneak in the back door. She's with Richard right now, but I'm there when she cries. I got her umbrella. I love umbrellas.
To put under her eyes for her cheeks?
Something like that.
Jerry.
Who's this talking to me? Is it God?
This is God, Jerry.
Oh, God. Keep it down, will you?
Jerry, I want to talk to you.
I'm just talking to myself, the audience. Shakespearean character, kind of like sometimes they talk outward to share their thoughts and feelings.
Yeah, I hear you.
It's not necessarily an invitation to a fucking full dialogue. I'm just a guy trying to get laid.
Jerry, first of all, I love your burlap pants. Second of all, everybody, women and men, go through different stages of insecurity.
Oh, God. How'd you make such an exciting world? Are you the same God that invented flamingos?
Yeah.
You're just dragging me down.
Oh, yeah, that was me. I was in a good mood. I created the flamingo and the platypus.
What can I do to get you back in that mood?
Looking for more of a flamingo god,
less of a Judd Hirsch from Taxi God.
Jerry, I talk to very few people. You're wasting your God time.
Point taken. Finish up.
Jerry, women and men, when they're first starting to date, are sometimes insecure. So I think that sometimes nice guys, when they're younger, when they're teenagers and are in their early 20s, and they approach women, they're like, I just want to be friends. It's hard when you're insecure to accept that somebody likes you. So then when women get older, that insecurity thing kind of changes a little bit. So with that friend thing, like maybe it's more about her than it is about you, and you should probably go bark up a different tree.
What, wait,
or become a rock star.
All right. What are you saying? Wait, take your God mask off, Aaron.
Oh, it was me the whole time.
Oh, it was me, Dan, the whole time. What the fuck are you talking about?
My guess
at
this friend zone person, if the friend zone person, if you're comfortable, if you could just scream out your age really quick.
The guy who, well, yeah, he's sitting with the chick that he's in the friend zone with. She thinks that
like,
he's
thank
awesome.
Thank you so much for giving me a ride to Alex's house. I appreciate
he's
it.
He's 3 years into a 9-year jackpot.
I'm just saying, like, I was...
Fuck it up for us. He's not like Tiffany and Zorro, whoever she came
I'm with. Speaking a Zorro.
Well, I assume he's Zorro. He fucking gets away with murder with her. The friend zone, don't get in it. That's the only advice we can give. It's like saying, how do I get out of quicksand? You can't.
Well,
you're
I just want to say it's more...
Don't ever, when you see it, step around it.
I would say, I would say across the board, and I think ladies will agree with me, if your intentions are romantic, fucking own that. Don't be like, hey, like, yeah, this isn't a date. I mean, if I can just drive you to coffee or whatever, and then all of a sudden say like, by the way, I want to lick your pussy. Like, that, that's the worst. That's the dishonest. Is that if you, my friends are like shaking their heads.
So don't do that.
Well, I'm just saying, like, if you're interested in somebody, like, first look Jerry in the mirror and say, Jerry, you're cool because you're smart. You made these burlap pants. No one wears burlap pants. And then when you see a girl that you like, go up to her. Hey, what's your name? My name is Angela. Hey, Angela, I think you're real beautiful. If I could buy you a drink sometime, I would love that. Oh, thank you. It doesn't always work. But it's more likely to get you laid than the alternative, which is like, hey, my name is Jerry. What's your name? Angela? Cool. Doing a bring your stand-up show. A lot of friends are coming. It's not a date. Not a date. Yeah, if you want to come, that'd be great. I'll be Facebooking you later.
Cool. So we agree on something. I agree. Yeah, ask women out.
Yeah.
Like, that's a great way to avoid. Like, ask them out to dinner. Say, let's watch Breaking Bad together. I don't. Like, tell them, basically, I'm interested in you. That's what you did. I said platonic drinks. I did that once. That's my limit. I said, hey, platonic drinks, right? Yep. Okay. How can you turn that down? Because you'd be a monster. That's my bear trap. That's the friend zone working for you. Then, after platonic drinks, you go, guess what? Someone's interested in something a little bit more heavy. And then they tell you yes or no. The difficult thing is not being afraid of the no. That's the horrible thing, because you feel like if they say no, then your balls fall off. And a fish hook grabs you, and it turns out you lived in a pond your whole life, and that someone gets to eat you if women don't like you.
All right, we're going to do a welcome to the rapid fire round. This is the part right. of Harmontown.
All of my answers will be three words.
Okay. Okay, should I put on music?
No. Because you will press a button and it'll be a velociraptor.
Are you sure? Well, maybe just a little. All right, you're right. I'm sorry. Okay. What is true love? You don't have to limit yourself. I'll have my hand up.
Dying for another.
All right. How do I know it's love?
You died, sir.
My wife isn't a redhead. What should I do?
Show her Clairol.
All right. What's too gross of an age difference when the lady's older? I, lady in parentheses, am 31.
7.
Wait.
But.
Oh.
Awesome. I don't know if it had to be a minimum of 3. I said max.
What are your views on masturbation in parentheses of the sexual and artistic kind? And then an asterisk, and its effect on romantic relationships.
I do it constantly.
Thank you, everybody. This has been Harmontown. Let's hear it for Dan Harmon.
If you guys want to talk to me, I'll be... I want to thank people. You're playing the thing.
Here we go.
Let's play it. I want to thank some people that are involved in the show now that we're actually podcasting it. Motherfucker. Also, if you want to talk, I'll take a little break, but I'll be hovering around here if you want to talk to me. I don't want to be presumptuous about that. I don't pretend that anyone wants to talk to me.
Guys, it really means a lot to him, so please come up and talk to him.
I want to thank you for coming to a Harmontown town meeting. We'll do another one next week now that we're weekly, but I want to thank Katie Levine for doing the audio recording here on site. Zach McKeever for doing all things technical, making sure we don't pop and whistle and everything audio related. Emily Gordon, who I don't think is here, but she's the producer of the live shows. Her idea to do this in the first place. Daniel Kramer, the program director, and Mo Fathobab. God damn it, Mo. Did I get that right? Fathobab? It's Egyptian. Mo Fathobab is the on-site director, and Daniel Kramer is the program director. Dustin Marshall is our podcast producer. He makes he's in charge of making sure we get on the air for you. And I also am going to give a very special thanks to Jenny Fine, who made our Harmontown winning logo for the Harmontown podcast. Thank you, Jenny. Thank you
Dustin
so much,
Marshall.
Dustin Marshall. I thank Dustin Marshall.
All right.
I'm going to fucking break up with you as soon as the show's over. Thank you for coming. No one's amused by that anger. It's always been funny to me. I'm from Wisconsin. Thank you so much.
I love you, Dan. Dan, I love you.
I love you, too. Thank you for coming to our Valentine's edition of Harmontown. I'll see you next week.